Alright, Jackie.
What? I said what?
No.
My stuff.
Adjust the air conditioning. Would they turn it where it's cooler? It is so hot in here, and it's not just me having a hot flash. Ted said he was hot too. Ted ain't having any hot flashes. I don't care. It's just cool. It's hot. Okay, never mind. All right. All right, good evening. Hello. Excuse me, let me have your attention, please. It's time for worship. Let's focus. Okay. Guys, bow your heads and shut your eyes, and let's focus on what we're here for. I want you to picture Jesus on the back of your eyelids. Picture His majesty and His wonder in front of you. Picture yourself kneeling before Him and giving Him the worship that only He deserves. Now hold that picture in your head while we worship God with song and with a message. Raise your heads. Okay, our first song is going to be "You Are Holy." Let's stand and sing.
I will follow.
amended. Before we do our prayer request, I want to read you something I got in an email today. Really listen to the words and think about what it means. Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and dreams when the first tree said, "Someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. I could be decorated with intricate carving and everyone could see the beauty." Then the second tree said, "Someday I will be a mighty ship. I will take kings and queens across the waters and sail the corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe because of the strength of my hull." Finally, the third tree said, "I want to grow to be the tallest and straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on top of the hill and look up to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to Him I am reaching. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will always remember me." After a few years of praying that their dreams would come true, a group of woodsmen came upon the trees. When one came to the first tree, he said, "This looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter." And he began cutting it down. The tree was happy because he knew that the carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. At the second tree, the woodsman said, "This looks like a strong tree. I should be able to sell it to the shipyard." The second tree was happy because he knew he was on his way to becoming a mighty ship. When the woodsman came up on the third tree, the tree was frightened because he knew that if they cut him down, his dreams would not come true. One of the woodsmen said, "I don't need anything special from my tree. I'll take this one." And he cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. He was then placed in a barn and filled with hay. This was not at all what he had prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings had come to an end. The third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. The years went by and the trees forgot about their dreams. Then one day a man and a woman came to the barn. She gave birth and they placed the baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. The man wished that he could have made a crib for the baby, but this manger would have to do. The tree could feel the importance of this event and knew that it had held the greatest treasure of all times. Years later, a group of men got into the fishing boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out in the water, a great storm arose and the tree didn't think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The men woke the sleeping man and he stood and said, "Peace," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that it had carried the King of Kings in his boat. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets as the people mocked the man who was carrying it. When they came to a stop, the man was nailed to the tree and raised in the air to die at the top of a hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of the hill and be as close to God as was possible because Jesus had been crucified on it. The moral of this story is that when things don't seem to be going your way, always know that God has a plan for you. If you place your trust in Him, God will give you great gifts. Each of these trees got what they wanted, just not in the way that they had imagined. We don't always know what God's plans are for us. We just know that His ways are not our ways, but His ways are always best. And I just wanted to open prayer with that tonight, because I think a lot of times we pray and we pray and we pray and we think our prayers are not being answered. And God answers every prayer. It just may not be in the way that we think it should be answered. And it may be, the answer to some prayers may be a resounding no, this is not what I have planned for you. But I always know that God's plan is the best plan. So, with that said, are there any prayer requests? Cherise?
There's a sophomore, Dariana Rivera. She was diagnosed with leukemia last year. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Lisa?
The family of that candidate, he was
What was his, how do you spell his last name? Mm-hmm. Bethany? Anyone else? Heather?
First off, pray for Miss Bethany that she's been in the hospital. She's been dehydrated. She's so emotionally,
anyone else? Jerry?
My brother, Glenn and Bob, has an anger in every place in his skin. There, I help him get in there. Also, my nephew, Herschel Key, he just had a particular face like what he did today, so he's doing fine.
Allie?
Is Charleston on there?
He was, I don't know if he still is. How is he doing?
He's got a bone marrow transplant.
Okay. Charlton Kratz, right?
Mama on the board is there. The hospital in the doctor, he's picked up things.
Everything's good? Good. That's a praise. Miss Margaret's doing really good.
I'd like to elaborate a little bit more about the traffic accident where the boy was killed. The young lady is in very critical condition. I met her Friday and Saturday at the home place. She helped stir the punch. And her boyfriend picked her up on Saturday evening up there and she took to his parents' home. As I understand, her parents also made a meal. And later on after that meal, I guess his family left ahead and he was supposedly following them. The boy's dead, you know. But that girl, because she was with him and he thought he had to speed, go too fast, right out of the car. He broke the law. He's dead. And she's going to, for the rest of her life, if she lives, going to be without at least one leg, maybe both. She's had internal injuries. And so far as they know, her brain is okay. And I haven't heard anything today yet, but she's really in really bad condition. And all because that foot got too heavy on the pedal. My advice is if you're riding with somebody who wants to ride that way, do not ride with them anymore. It's just foolish to ride that way. I'm not putting that boy down, you know. Dead. I just felt like I really needed to say something when I felt that. If you got friends to drive strategy, don't drive with them. No, you really go by the speed of go by the law, or I'm not driving with you anymore. Believe that, that's the advice you're going to get.
Lauren?
There's a boy in my his name's Anthony, and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't. We got a friend going to stay, so try that everyone's safe.
Okay. Anyone else? Nikki?
Remember, she's like had a donate, and she's a great time. She just called me for you, and then she said, from her.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have a couple.
Okay.
Ed Wittenberg, who normally is back here playing the accordion, has bronchitis, so if you could lift him up in prayer. And also, you guys have been really supportive in praying for Patricia Plattenberg. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to say that she is no longer with us. She died on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But I really pray that she's with the Lord and in a happy place. And just please pray for her family. And the name of Luke's teacher is Angela Helton. That's her daughter. If you would continue to lift her up in prayer.
Okay. Anyone else? Jesse.
I wrote my school over the Thanksgiving holiday. Her house burned down all the way to the ground.
What's her name?
Krista Little.
Anyone else? Okay, let's bow our head for prayer. As I say each of these names, repeat them over in your head and lift them up to God. Dariana Rivera, the family of Zach Karanek, Brittany Leedham, Kezia, Carrie Patton and the Patton family, Leonard Bowers, Herschel Key, Charlton Kratz, Anthony, Jennifer, Ed Wittenberg, the Plattenberg family, Angela Helton, Krista Little and family, for all those traveling to Murfreesboro for the state playoffs and the football players, we play safety for them. Lord, we lift each and every one of these names up to you. We pray that your will would be done in their lives. We know that your will is far greater than what we want. So we pray your will in their life. We pray for healing of sickness. We pray for comfort from loss. We pray for shelter for homeless, food for the hungry. But most of all, Lord, we pray for salvation for those who are lost. Lord, be with us tonight as we worship. And may everything we say and do in this sanctuary tonight be pleasing in your sight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing. The next song is Word of God Speak.
Amazing grace, how sweet that sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once blind, but now I see so clearly. Hallelujah, oh my sin, the washed away, the washed away.
Message tonight is going to come from Miss Debbie Hatfield. And you guys remember she put a box up in the Sunday school room and said, whatever questions you have, put them in the box. Well, you had some really, really good questions, and I don't know that she's going to get to all of them tonight. So here's some answers to some questions. Hello.
Good evening.
Hello. Wake up. Okay. Yeah, I can't get to all the questions. Y'all had some really good questions. Kind of challenged my brain just a little bit here, but I'm going to answer as many as I can. And then the ones I didn't get to, we can address in a Sunday school class or on another Wednesday night or something. We'll definitely get answers to all of the questions that you had. So everyone gets their answer and doesn't feel left out. Okay.
And what I'm going to do, this is going to kind of be an open thing here where, I mean, if I've answered something and somebody maybe has another scripture that you think would be just as good or even maybe a little bit better, feel free to raise your hand and read the scripture to help me out here, okay? Because these are scriptures that I came up with for these answers to kind of help you understand some of the questions you had, but there's probably more out there that would be just as good or even better. Okay, one of the first questions I had, excuse me, why did God create mentally retarded and disabled people? And, you know, you think sometimes it's hard to think about people, you know, that have disabilities through the world. So I'm going to read you a scripture, John chapter 9, okay, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read a story about a blind man. And then I have got a little video to show you guys, actually, for this one. So, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. This is Jesus, okay? As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." And that's what I think. I think that God, I'm not saying that God, through certain circumstances, things do happen in life that cause people to have disabilities and certain things in their life. But God can be glorified through the most amazing things. He can be glorified through those people, and 90% of the time, they touch me with their heart more than people who are fully functioning with all their, you know, their senses. So remember that God can speak through just about anybody and through just about any situation. And I'm going to show y'all that it's a 5-minute video, so it's a little bit long video, but this is a video of a guy that just, this is completely amazing that this guy ministers the way he has and has the most incredible outlook in life. So, y'all listen.
Can you hear it? Hang on, thank you.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on. It was. No, it's up there. I had to turn on the stairs. So she went to turn on. Okay. I'm going to go on to the next question just so that we don't have. She ran upstairs to do that. Okay. Does God know absolutely every single thing that's going to happen in your life? Which is kind of scary to know that he knows all that, because you can't hide. You can't pretend that it didn't really happen, because it did. Okay, I'm going to read in Psalm 139. Okay, this is a prayer from David. This is David talking. It says, and I won't read the whole thing. You can go back and read the rest of it if you want to. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." So my answer to that is that yes, God knows everything before it even happens. He ordained the world. Now, he gives us a free will to make a choice, but he knows what choice we're going to make. Not that he forced that choice on us, but he knows us well enough to know exactly what choices we're going to make. So that's my answer to that question. Is it ready? Okay, let's go with the video.
Can't hear it. Yeah, I cannot help but say it. Did I hear it?
And do you know?
It's not anything up here, right?
Is there a volume button on here?
Go to the next one. I'll let them mess with that. Okay. Is hell a real physical place or a mental place, a mental state of mind? Okay. I actually have a lot of scriptures on this one because I think that it says that a lot in here. There's a lot of different scriptures in here. But I can understand why people are, you know, not sure about it. Revelation chapter 20. Okay, I'm going to read that one first. Verses 10, and then there's 1 and 15. 20:10 says, hang on just a second, I can't read this one. 20:10, okay. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, and then in 15 it says, in the same chapter, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is a real place, and it is a place of torment and torture forever and ever. Okay, there's another scripture, Luke, which one was it that I was going to do? Matthew 18, Okay. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Now that doesn't mean I want you to go gouge out your eyes or cut off a limb by any means. But that, and this actually kind of goes along with another one of the questions that we had about if you continuously ask for forgiveness for a sin, but you know you're going to do it again, are you actually forgiven? If there is a sin in your life that you know you have a really problem with, pull yourself away from anything that whatever it is that's tempting, whatever it is, don't. It's just like, you know, someone that has a problem with alcohol shouldn't be anywhere near alcohol. They should never walk past a bar. They should never go anywhere near it. Sin in your life, it does try to creep up on you. And I'm not saying that you can be perfect, but if it's a sin that you're not able to get rid of, you need to get rid of it. If it's something that you continually go, you know, commit over and over and over again. And that's kind of what this is talking about. You know, if it's your arm that's causing you to, you know, sin, cut it off, because it is better to go without a limb than it would be, you know, to be in the lake of fire. So that's talking about the sin and pulling yourself away from the sin that is constantly reminding you. But that talks about hell. There's one more. Revelation 21:8 is another one in Revelation. Okay. 21:8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So, to answer that question, I believe that hell is a physical place of torture that doesn't end. Did you get it? Not yet. Okay. This one here, I actually had my son Nolan look up. Where is he? Oh, he's back there. Okay. I had Nolan do this one for me. It says, the Bible talks about dinosaurs in Job chapter 40. Which came first, Adam and Eve or the dinosaurs? It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And he wrote down in Genesis chapter 1, verses 24, it says, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock. Did I just read that? And God said that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So, in Noah's opinion, the animals were created first. Whatever kind of animal it was, creature or whatever it was. And then man was made, but made to rule over that. Someone pointed out something to me that, as long as I've been a Christian, I never even noticed this. But in that scripture where it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds. Who is he referring to when he says us? Does anybody have an idea? Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. This is the first known mention of the Trinity in the Scripture. So, the Trinity was, Jesus, Christ, existed prior to his birth. And that's, I think, a really important thing for us to understand, that here was a king of the universe that stepped down and went to become a human so that he could die for us. So, anyway, I thought that was really interesting. You're good to go? All right, we got a video, guys.
Okay, so.
I'm Young Hassel. My name is Nick Vujicic, and I love traveling around the world, fishing, golfing, and swimming. I love living life. I am happy.
actually, along the way, you might fall down like this. Ready? So what do you do when you fall down? Get back up. Everybody knows to get back up, because if I start walking, I'm not going to get anywhere. But I tell you, there are some times in life where you fall down and you feel like you don't have the strength to get back up. Do you think you have hope? Because I tell you, I'm down here, face down, and I have no arms, no legs. It should be impossible for me to get back up, but it's not. You see, I will try 100 times to get up, and if I fail 100 times, if I fail and I give up, do you think that I'm ever going to get up? No. But if I fail, I try again, and again, and again. But I just want you to know that it's not the end. It matters how you're going to finish. Are you going to finish strong? And you will find that strength to get back up like this. If he doesn't give it to me, and it's not that I'm not content, because I am content, I'm fine, it's such a big ministry that God's given me, and such a beautiful thing to witness people's hearts being changed and transformed because of the, you know, the testimony that we bring of God's glory, grace, and perfection. I'm still believing for the miracle. Has one thing in note for note, don't worry. Be happy. Every life he has some trouble. When the world makes it double, don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
Here's someone that, I mean, I just can't imagine, making so much out of your life and glorifying God. I mean, I look at the trials I have in my life and I think, there is nothing I can do. I am just, poor me, poor pitiful me. Can you think about someone like that? I mean, how amazing is that? He spends his entire day glorifying God. In everything that he does, he just has just this incredible ministry. And we think about how many more possibilities we have, to really get out there and minister and glorify God. And here's someone like that that just, wow, that amazes me. So, okay. Did y'all enjoy that? Okay. Let me get back to, I want to do one more, and then some of the rest of these I may have to, okay. We'll do one more, because I think we're running out of time. Because I really want to do this one. If you continuously ask for forgiveness, there were two that were very similar. If you continuously ask for forgiveness for a certain sin, yet you know you will do it again, are you going to be forgiven? And the other one was, will God forgive you for a sin you know will happen or do again? Okay? I've got some Romans chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4 and 11 through 14. I'm going to read that. Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We've died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were there before, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Down in verse 11 it says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Through God's grace, you can be forgiven, but you have to repent. And repentance means that you turn away from that sin. You became a new creature. Once you accepted Christ, you became a new creature through Christ, dead to the sin that was in your life, dead to that sinful life. And you're different. You are a changed human being. And if you are not changed from the life that you had before, maybe you and God need to have another talk, because maybe something's just not right there. And you need to really talk to God about what's in your heart, because you should be a new creature and you should be completely changed. There's another scripture in Jeremiah chapter 17. Let me read that one real quick. 9 through 10. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. God's going to judge us based on what's in our heart. Now, in your heart, you may really want to change, and if that's the case and you really want to get rid of that sin, come to somebody and ask for help. Go to, you know, through constant prayer and reading of the scripture, I've discovered in my life the best way to deal with the sin in my life, find a scripture that pertains to that sin and memorize it and say it over and over. And when that sin occurs in your life, when you feel the temptation, start quoting that scripture, and you will be amazed at what God can do when you have the scripture. Satan cannot be in the presence of the Holy One. He can't. He can't. They can't be in the same room. So if you are quoting God's scripture, he can't combat that. He has. There's no way he can get in. So hide the scripture in your heart. Quote it when you need it. Pray when you need it. And there's always somebody to talk to, someone that can help you, that can help you overcome and work with you. And that's another thing, keeping yourself in the presence of other people that are like-minded, that will help you through some of those things and challenges that you have. Okay, I think that's all I have time for tonight. So we'll end with that one, but the rest of these questions we'll get in a Sunday school class or in another Wednesday session. Thank y'all.
Thanks, Deb. Okay, our last song tonight is a Christmas song, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. Let's stand and sing.
Joyful and triumphant.
remember Breakfast with Santa Saturday for those who are coming to eat, 8:30, for those who are coming to work, 7 o'clock. We're also meeting after, right after school on Friday. We're going to meet here and finish decorating, so I don't interfere with y'all's Friday nights. We're going to do it right after school. Okay? So, Debbie? Sure.
On Sunday night, okay, Sunday evening, we need to go through the Christmas musical, the play, like from start to finish, the musical, the whole thing together. But what I need is, I know some of you guys have signed up for anything, to do anything. I need some statements. I need some people that are willing to move props on and off and do some of that stuff. We've got people doing lighting and some people that are supposed to do pictures and stuff. But I need some of you guys to be here Sunday night to help with that kind of stuff and to help with the play, okay? I need people that are willing to kind of put things in order. So,
and it's going to be with the costumes and everything, right? So
yeah, hopefully I can have all the costumes together.
What time Sunday?
Sunday, because y'all aren't doing
youth,
right?
No youth on Sunday because we need to help Debbie get this pulled together. So is there any guys that can be there Sunday? Cody can be there Sunday.
She's married,
yeah. All right, Joseph, you have to be there. Anybody else?
Cameron.
Cameron, okay. All right, we'll get you some there. I'll talk to him again Sunday morning. Okay.
5 o'clock.
Everybody be there, y'all. The Christmas play is next weekend. Not this coming weekend, but the next weekend. So we need to be prepared. All right. Let's bow our heads and say, have one final prayer, and then we'll go. Jerry, will you pray? Go in peace.
And then at the end, instead of us, no, no, no.
Okay, yeah, I am ready.
Are we going to do that? Is that what we're going to do?
So are we not rehearsing? Okay, fine. I'm good anyway.
You wanted to rehearse that song?
No, I was going to play it for now.
Oh, fine. I want to hear it.
I just don't know what channel, I can't know what channel it's on. I don't want to blow them out of the chairs. Don't want to be a story.
Sure you do.
Let me make sure I know. Guess there's one way to find out, right?
I'm really glad that
they made comments.
Oh, I didn't.
They weren't paying attention.
Oh, okay.
I get it fixed.
No.
Okay. I'm a brag. No.
The thing is that all of this mumbo jumbo, especially during the election,
or doesn't have any arms.
Exactly. Just a black, you know.
I tried.
No. That's the purpose for that baby.
Well, and here's
and
the deal.
And it just became an issue. It became the only place to go.
Well, and even if, because in the U.S., our idea of what purpose is, you know, maybe, even if they have no purpose, and I mean that sounds kind of weird, let's suppose their job is just to earn a living, and feed the babies they have and do that, maybe that's the whole thing. They're not supposed to be a big evangelist or something, but they're of value.
Right.
They made God's image. So even if that's an undefined purpose,
there are millions of people who have no purpose.
Look what China's done to the female population. And I think in the 30-year-old age group, in the
world,
yeah.
It will be one of
the best. They just got armed, baby. Okay, anyway, that's another thing. I have no idea how loud this is going to be. Hold on to your hat.
Maybe both.
Change today, love beyond the holiday. The Christmas message is good news, something we can always use. We are all year long, so we're the giving us all in all. We don't have to be the man in red to heal the hurt and keep the hungry fed. And when you have Christmas all year,
Yeah, we've sent it to some